Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Another edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. I'm your host, Stacey Emery, as always joined by my phenomenal and awesome co-host, Mr. Billy Miller, the motivational minister, and Dr. Ayo Kedar, the natural Zen diva. It is Monday, February 21st. Happy President's Day to each of you that are tuning in tonight, and thank you for joining us as always. Now, we are always excited every single week. I don't think there's ever a week where we're not excited to be on this show. It's just like week after week, we just come with the fire. And God has been blessing us with some great guests and some great topics to discuss. So, as always, we're excited. And we're excited for those of you that are tuning in. You know, we're the hosts of the show, but we are students tonight just like the rest of you that are tuning in. So, we really encourage you to come with an open mind, as always, but also an open ear and an open heart, because the information you're going to share, that you're going to hear on tonight's show, will basically be able to bless you and transform your life. So whether you're looking for change or growth in your personal life, your personal or own business, your current occupation, or if you're looking to go to the next level in terms of career and so forth, then you definitely want to make sure that you're tuning in, that you're taking notes, because tonight we are celebrating successful women in business. And we are fortunate enough and just honored to have two phenomenal women in business joining us tonight. For those of you that may not have seen all the posts and all the advertising and so forth for the show, we are going to have April Mason joining us. Now, April Mason just has a long list of accomplishments, but she's an author, she's a speaker, she's an activist, she's in ministry, she's changing lives. I love her tagline on her website that says, the life and business change agent. That's who she is. So Ms. April Mason is going to be joining us tonight. And then also, if you are anywhere on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, any social media marketing or website, you have to be familiar with Ms. Nicole Cooper. She is the guru in social media marketing, and we are fortunate enough to have her joining us later on in the show. And so both of these women are going to tell us more about their stories, and they're going to share some success tips and habits, as I said, that is going to help you in your own business as well as any occupation that you're currently in. And as always, know that despite, you know, regardless of what the topic is, the principles that you hear shared on this show are able to bless you in other areas of your life as well, whether it's in relationship, personal or business, any type of growth, personal development, your own growth, whatever it may be, you're always going to get some nuggets on this show. But again, we encourage you to have an open mind because you do hear different perspectives on some of the topics, and so we want you to walk away empowered and also just looking at things from a different perspective. So that is basically it for tonight's show. Before we bring on our first guest, I'm just going to hand it over to Billy and Dr. Ayo, you know, for you guys to be able to share whatever it is you want to share, if you have any thoughts, any questions, any comments or concerns before we get the ball rolling. I'm going to pass it over to you guys.
Woohoo!
Oh, goodness. Don't talk all at once. Okay, great. I know I said a mouthful. I was just trying to get it out because, you know, I'm like, we've got to be able to just get this, you know, get our host on and so forth. Our guest on. We want to be able to get our guest on, but I want to make sure that I'm giving that introduction. But I do want to pass it to you guys just in case before we bring them on. So if you guys have anything, let me know.
No, I think it's going to be a great topic. I think it's timely to have successful women in business. We don't get to highlight some phenomenal women, you know, besides ourselves, you know, every week. But so it's good. I'm really excited to hear the information that our guests are going to be talking about tonight. So, yay.
All righty. Well, I'm looking at something interesting, guys, and let me ask you this, Billy or Isle, do you guys notice that it's showing, do you notice the time for the show is showing a short amount of time? I don't know if anyone else is noticing this. Do you guys see the time for the show is set to be a short time? Do you guys see a brief?
Yes,
like
yeah.
Maybe 50? It's really weird. Okay. Well, we are going to keep the ball. I mean, we're going to keep it going, so I don't know what that's about. Blog Talk Radio needs to get that together. But anywho, all right, Billy, share before we go ahead and introduce our first guest.
Yeah, we're talking about success, and, you know, success is not reaching your destination, but who you become on your way to it. And I just can't wait to hear the story. You know, we always see the glory, but we often fail to get a story. I like the story behind the glory, and so I'm excited. And, you know, I'm always excited to hear from some winning women. You understand what I'm saying? So let's
go. All right, let's do it. Well, like I said, our first guest tonight has a whole long list of accomplishments. And, you know, we were blessed to be able to come across some of her work on Facebook. That's how we were introduced to her on Facebook. And, you know, I think it's probably been at least a year that I've been looking at all of the posts coming through as far as updates on the book that was coming out. And just like, wow, you know, there's a lot of impactful comments and posts that are being shared by this individual. And so we were, Billy and Io and I were talking about having the show about successful women in business. And fortunately, we can say that we had a long list of friends to go through and determine, okay, who would be the best individuals to bring on this show that are going to be most impactful, you know, especially for this time. And so we were going through everyone. And the two women that we picked tonight, I mean, they just rocked in every area as far as what we could tell. And so we read their bios, we read a little bit about their stories, and we said, okay, these are the two women we want to have on this show tonight. And so this first woman, as I said, is an activist, an entrepreneur, a speaker, an author, a mom, just really handling business. In ministry, I mean, just wearing several hats and winning in all areas. So as Billy said, he loves the winning woman, and she definitely fits that description. So I want to, you know, just introduce you guys to our first guest tonight, Ms. April Mason. April, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Thank you for having me on the show.
You are so welcome. We are so honored to have you here. We are excited about the information that you are going to share with us tonight.
Oh, great. You know what? When we got the information asking for me to come on, I'm always so humbled and honored to be a part of any, you know, one that's doing something positive and trying to get the mindset of people to change, because that's one of the hardest things to do. People claim, they say they want change, but there's a difference between saying and acting upon it. So the fact that you guys are really trying to empower people, you know, that continue blessings to you in that, because that's where it's at. When people understand that it's in the change, then they'll get a lot further.
Amen.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And we know that you have a very busy schedule, obviously, with all the list of things that we just written down. So, again, we thank you for just taking the time to be here with us tonight. But for those listeners that are not familiar with who April Mason is, if you would first just tell us more about who you are.
Well, actually, you know, who I am is just a woman that comes from pretty much nothing, didn't have too much, and just a humble individual is who I am. What I do is I have several businesses. I've written 5 books. The last one came out last year, Broken But Not Bound, The Making of Me, which is a life story of dealing with years of molestation from 5 to 17, domestic violence, rape, divorce, having 3 kids by the time I was 23, and all of the other stuff in between. And, you know, I kind of, you know, wrote that book based upon, you know, my life, and I believe that would help other people. My goal and mission is to help people understand that you create your own destiny. You create the lifestyle that you want. You create it. It's like life is like a canvas, and you are the artist, and you can paint whatever you want to paint on it. So you can't really blame anybody for your choices and what your canvas looked like. If it looked like you was in kindergarten and you were just splattering paint, then that's the life that you designed, because you didn't take the time to do what needs to be done. So I'm just that individual that comes in and says, you know what, if I could do it, you can do it. I don't have anything extra special. I don't have any superpowers or anything like that. I didn't come with a silver spoon in my mouth, but I'm here to let others know that my mission and my goal in life is to let others know that you don't have to live just by the way you grew up or what they said you were going to be or how you saw it around where you were. So my friends called me. They said, you need a little FBI jacket that says broken but not bound on the front. Because soon as something going down, there you go. There you go. So I'm all about the people. I really have a passion for people. I'm that one to say, that's not going down like that. We if we got to go to the media and whatever we got to do to make it, to bring some attention, I'm the one that I've always been told I kind of had like a little big mouth. So now I'm using it in a positive manner.
Amen to that. I did read part of the book, and I was reading your story, and I was just like, wow. I mean, just for you to be able to overcome. I mean, we hear about several afflictions that people deal with growing up. You know, some people may say, okay, well, they dealt with rape, or they dealt with molestation, or they dealt with domestic violence. You know, maybe one of these areas, but you had a whole array of obstacles and trials that you had to overcome in your life. Tell us how you were able to do that.
You know what? Honestly, I know people, they're always looking for a more complex answer, but it's really simple, and it was I made the choice. I made the choice to say that I was not going to let anybody control me, because what happens is, yes, I went through, you know, being molested by my father, stepfather. My first incident was with my two female neighbors when I was five. They lived next door to me, and then it just progressed from there. And, you know, just so happened, you know, when I got older, I started really thinking about the fact that my research that sexual abuse ran heavily on my stepfather's side as well as my father's side. So I'm running from one thing. One person ran into it even worse with the next. So after that, you know, you get into all of these bad relationships looking for love, because your definition of love is what others have done to you. So people taking from you is your definition of what love is. So it's not uncommon for someone to treat you bad and you still stay around, because that's what you know love to be. So it was all about me deciding to say, wait a minute, something ain't right. You know, something is not, you know, adding up. It has to be more to life than this. I have to have something more that I'm supposed to do than this. So honestly, overcoming was nothing more than a choice. Yes, there are groundwork that there has to be done. But if you watch, and this is in any area of your life, once you make a solid, solid decision, you'll watch everything around you starts changing and going toward the decision that you make. You can't be wavering and can't be, you know, I don't know. No, that doesn't work. And I remember when God was taking me through the forgiveness process, and it was like 11 months after my divorce, because the book all came from, you know, stemmed from my book. The introduction of the book is nothing more than what my pastors at the time told me to write. They were like, well, you know what, you're angry and you're bitter, and we want to counsel with you. And, you know, me being me, sometimes I can be a little snappish. And I said, well, you know what, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with me. And if once I tell you what's wrong with me, if you can fix me, there is a God. So the introduction of my book that you read on the website is no more than the letter that I actually wrote to them. I wrote like 4 pages in like 20 minutes. And I had to determine to now fix it. They didn't call me for several days. And we ended up not counseling because, you know, all they were going to do was try to pull out of me what I already gave them. So I was like, I'm a solutions person. Let's beat through all of this and let me show you what's wrong so we don't have to play the back and forth game. At that moment, I knew that only God could deal with me. It wasn't about anybody else, and I went through this 11-month process, but that was after I made the choice to say, I can't live like this anymore. You can't desire to be loved by somebody, but yet you're afraid of it because you don't want what you're used to getting. And then your whole life is all jacked up based upon your experiences. So a lot of people have entrepreneurs. They are entrepreneur spirit. They are an entrepreneur waiting to happen. But because of things that have went on in their past, they don't even know who they are yet. I don't care how old they are. They don't know who they are because they haven't dealt with the past yet, but yet they're trying to move forward. I'm trying to do this business. I'm trying to do that. Well, we need to get a clean slate first. We need to deal with your issues first. Figure out where you need to be so you don't be all so you're not all over the place. You're starting this business, you're starting that business, you're starting this business, because your mind is all over the place. And if you really start dealing with self, and really start letting God deal with you and break away all of that other stuff, that excess baggage, you can focus in and you won't find yourself all over the board. And, you know, I tell people all the time, you when I talk about entrepreneurship and dealing with healing at the same time, they don't seem like they go together. But when you really look at it, what do we go, a lot of times when we go to college and kids, they do make the choice to do this and that in life. They're making it based upon where they are now. They don't know exactly who they are, where they want to be. So you'll see them changing their majors all. I mean, I have cousins that are like 40-some-odd years old and changed their major like 18 times. I'm like, when are you going to deal with you to really find out who you are so you can stick with one thing? So people want to be prosperous, but they can't because they can't focus on what they should be doing because they don't know who they are because they haven't allowed themselves to deal with self first. They just want to jump the gun. So for me, it was making the choice to say, yes, I did have three kids out of wedlock. I did have them by the time I was 23. I lived in the shelter with them. And, you know, I started my first business with $50 from a welfare check because I made the choice to say, I can't be living up in no one-bedroom with no three babies. This is not going to happen. With no furniture, sleeping on the floor. But I knew there was something great on the inside. I just didn't know what it was at that moment. And when I prayed about it, started to give back. I prayed about it. God gave me the gift basket business. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not domesticated like that. You know, I'm not messing up my nails with no hot glue gun and no tape and no shrink wrap and all of that. But I prayed about it. He gave me the answer. So when God gives you the answer, you got to accept it. You can't say what you won't will and won't do. 3 months later, I still didn't do anything. And then I decided, let me make the kids Easter baskets like I normally do. For that year, I made their Easter baskets, and people in the neighborhood saw them. I started making money. Moved to Atlanta and opened up a full-fledged gift basket retail store. So overcoming, I wouldn't have been able to do any of those things until I really got on the road to dealing with me. That made me realize, April, you are very creative. I'd have never known that I would have been doing anything with gift baskets. That business opened up so many doors for me, and it comes like, I could do it like with my eyes closed. That's because I started dealing with me first and letting past issues and what people said and all the negative things that were spoken over me go. But I couldn't have gotten to even think about overcoming until it was a decision. So it's as simple as saying, you know what, I don't want this anymore. And then once you say it, understanding it's not going to be easy getting out of it. But you're on the right road. So all hell going to break loose when you decide, I don't want no more of it. But while all hell is breaking loose, you'll have a certain peace that you're okay with it. You're okay if you lose everything. You're okay if you got to go to the shelter. You're okay if you got to sleep in your car because you know you're on the right road and you're chiseling away all of the other stuff. So on one hand, it looks terribly bad. But on the other hand, you're so blissfully happy because now you're okay with coming into self. And that may mean you have to lose some things in order to come into self. But it all starts with a choice.
Mm-hmm. It starts with a choice. And one of the definitions to decide means there's no other options. So to decide means there's no other options. And so that's what I liked about your story, because once you made that choice and once you decided, you know, you said all hell broke loose. But you didn't have the other options. You kept going. You kept pressing. Did you have any people helping you?
You know, honestly, and I don't say this like there was just nobody, but when I tell you this, I had to, my journey, I had to go through it alone. And I remember I was on the phone in 2008 talking with a good friend of mine, and she, you know, on all the television talk shows, she's doing her thing. I'm proud of her. And we were talking one day. And it hit me, and I jumped up. I was in the bed, and I said, you know what? I've become the woman that I was looking for to help me when I was going through what I was going through. That's why I have such a passion for people. I felt like, God, you are using me as the guinea pig. I have to go through all of this, just you and I. And every now and then, you know, not too many people gave me. I wasn't given anything. I mean, it was like how I learned how to use the computer, I cannot tell you. How I learned the majority of stuff that I know, I can't tell you because I didn't go to college. So I can't tell you how I learned it. It was just a God-given wisdom. But no one stepped up and handed me anything. I had to make the choice to say, you know what, whatever it takes. I had to do my research. I had to stay up in late hours. Being a single mom at 23, I mean, yeah, I'm not even fully developed to 23, let alone trying to raise. At that time, they weren't even, Corey wasn't one. William might have been two, and Adriana was, what, four? Because they're 2 years apart. And I'm trying to do all of this. But I never had a role model. I had a role image. And I'll never forget, I was leaving an abusive relationship, and I had snuck out of the city on the train and moved back home to California. And the way the people looked at me at the Chicago train station, I had a baby in one hand on the little, I call it the little baby leash, one on the one leash, the other one on the other wrist on the leash, and then Corey was the baby in a little pouch in the middle. And the way that these people were looking at me, they had a look of disgust on their face, like, you know, because how old is she, 16? And, you know, you could just feel the looks. And at that point, I made the decision to say, I don't like feeling this way. And then I've always asked, who was my role model? And honestly, I never had a role model. I had a role image. I saw an image of a woman. Her hair was together. Her makeup was tight. She had on some bad shoes, a business suit, and a briefcase. She didn't have a color. I didn't know what race she was. All I know was I wanted to be that woman. So now everybody that knows me, you will always see me rocking a bad suit, some 4-5 inch heels. The hair is going to be right, and the makeup is going to be together, because that's the image that I wanted to. That's the person that I wanted to be. And I started that at 24 years old. I didn't understand it all, and I even had some old cheap little polyester suits from the thrift store. But I was trying to make it work to get to the image, because I'm like, she looks powerful. She looks like some success. She looks like what I would love to be. So I embraced that, even though my self-esteem was not there, even though everything was all my mind and stuff was kind of, you know, in a disarray, but I still said no. Bits of me was like, I'm going to go, and I'm still trying to make this do. I see something here. I ain't all the way right yet, but something over here I can grab a hold of. So I took on a role image, and that was my role model, and I said, I'm going to live up to this image, because this is a powerful, successful woman, you know, doing her thing, and that's what I wanted to be.
I love that. That is so powerful. I'm sitting here listening to you, and I'm just sitting here, like, literally, I'm just wowed listening, because so much has come forth in just the last maybe 15 minutes or so of you talking. I mean, you've said enough to just, like, as Billy always says, he's always saying, chew on that. You've given us more than enough to chew on for the next week, you know, because what I love about what I'm hearing right now, I mean, you've said quite a few things, and I'm taking notes while you're speaking, but I know Billy just addressed this. The first thing you talked about was starting with that decision and making the choice, and that part is the most challenging for most people, because it takes so much courage to be able to do that. Even when you said that many people don't want to deal with that person in the mirror, sometimes we're afraid of going within ourselves and taking off those masks to see who we are under all those layers. Sometimes we're afraid of what we're going to find out about ourselves. So I like the fact that you talked about that first, making that decision and that choice to learn more about who you are. Despite all the trials and all the challenges and everything that you've been through, there's so much underneath those layers. And I thought that was awesome. And another thing that I noticed that you said, where you're talking about your perception, how we view things, but you also talked about, despite what was going on, whether you have to live in a car or you're in a shelter or whatever it may be, you're still trusting the process that you're going through. So once you've made the decision, you've made the choice, okay, it's time to change. And for you in your situation, it wasn't about the role model, but you had that image in mind of who you were to be. And you worked tirelessly, obviously, and selflessly to get to that point. So I'm just sitting here wowed by everything that you just shared. And it makes me even more hungry for the rest of your book.
It's all about a choice. You know, my friends, they were like, you so hard on us. I said, if you're looking for somebody to come pat you on the back and say, baby, it's going to be all right, I'm not the one that you come to. That's somebody else's conference. That's not me. I'm one of those, like, I call myself Jillian from The Biggest Loser. She's going to work you out. She's going to make sure you get what you get what you, the results you're trying to get. But she's going to love on you in the midst of it. It might not feel that way, but at the end, you're definitely going to understand it was all worth it. And because that's how I learned. Because we sugarcoat and we pat people on the back too much, and we actually stifle their growth. it's a way to tell people, you know, things, of course. But there's, you don't have time for sugarcoating anything, because if you really think about the soap opera, it's called One Life to Live. And if you really pay attention to what that one line says, one life to live, you only have one life to live. And either you're going to live it or you're not, period. I mean, what is there to be afraid of? The answer is either going to be a yes or a no, period. I mean, what else is going to happen? You're afraid of rejection? Okay, we all don't. Nobody likes rejection. But at the end of it all, what is the worst thing that can happen? You can be told no. Okay, well, somebody's going to tell me yeah. So just because you're, and I think that's what people, they don't get it. I get people all the time, tons of emails saying, you're the most bravest woman I know. I mean, from men, you know, even from guys, like, you have moved across country. You started ministries. I can't do it. I'm like, you know what, because you're in a bubble. And then again, people have to also understand that many are called, but few are chosen. Now, a lot of people take that as to be like, okay, God just chose you specifically. Okay, yeah, he did choose people specifically, but a lot of it is, many are called, we all are called, few are chosen. The chosen go through the process. They choose to go through the process. So all of us can be called and chosen, but all of us don't choose to go through the process. So that's why you have some people that are seemingly more highly successful than others, because they chose to go through the process. My daughter's friend told her, she's like, you guys have moved a lot. You guys have gotten this happened and that happened. And I told my daughter, I said, don't trip, sweetheart. I said, because we're not average people. We chose to live a better life. So, yeah, her parents, you know, they choose the 8 to 5, and that's wonderful for them. That stability is wonderful. But when you're an individual like myself that requires more, that's not trying to retire at 60 just to get a gold watch and a pension that may not be there and Social Security that it don't look like I'm going to ever get, mm-hmm. I'm not concerned about that. My concern is making it happen, leaving an inheritance for my children now. And, you know, as parents, that's what we're supposed to do. I cultivate my kids to where I'm not sending them to college for what they think they want to go for. I'm sending them for their natural gifts and abilities. And when we really get to tap into our natural giftings and abilities, we won't be all over the board. Everything you need, I have a product called What's in Your Hand, because everything you need is in your hand. Over in Exodus 4 and 2, God asked Moses, what's in your hand? Moses was like a rod, like it was nothing, not realizing that thing that God gave him, that rod, was everything he needed to get to where he needed to go, to part the Red Sea, to do all of the wonderful miracles that he did. He already had it. So we're always trying to find another way to make it, I can do this way, and I can make this much money that way. Why don't you just deal with you, once again, go back, deal with you, find out what your natural giftings and abilities are, and cultivate those. There's no need to go to school to be a doctor if you can't stand blood, just because doctors make a lot of money. You're not going to be happy in that. That's why you have people that are working jobs, been on their job 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and they're miserable as all get out. So I don't teach my children to go for just find a job. My kids are, as of this year, 17, 15, and 13. And they will have no desire to work on nobody's job. They're like, oh, Mama, yeah, we don't. I'm doing William Walker Enterprises. I'm not working on nobody's job. I want to do like you do. And now they do. I mean, my kids have been entrepreneurs since they were younger. And, you know, my daughter, every week she's like, oh, my mama needs you to spot your girl, you know, extra $20 so I can go to Costco and buy this candy so I can go make this money. And that's what she does. She sells candy at school. She's starting her own little lip gloss business. That's what they desire to do, because that's what I've shown them. It doesn't have to be the way society tells you it has to be. So if people really understood that everything that they need is in their hand, I think a lot of people will be more happier. So what with the recession? So what? And I didn't take part of that. Why? Because I utilize what's in my hand to make a living. And one other thing that people have to understand is, you might want to do something. God gave you this wonderful vision, you know, all this wonderful stuff. But people may not be receiving it. And sometimes you don't have to tweak the message. You have to tweak the method. And I think when people, especially entrepreneurs, get so caught up in, this is what it is. This is what I was, you know, told to do. I know I'm good at this, blah, 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 blah. But if it's not yielding you the return and the results that you need, you might want to tweak it. and go another method. And I tell people all the time, especially when in my women's singles conference, learn from Delilah. Delilah was a bad chick. Learn from her methods, not her motives. Her methods were off the chain. She was a bad girl. The government called her in to go get Samson. Now, if the government calling you in to go get a man, and they paying you to go get this man, she had a certain wisdom. She had a technique. She had a strategy to get what she wanted, and she got it. So we must learn, even when you're trying to be an entrepreneur, or even in ministry for that matter, I don't even know who that's for, but even in ministry, if you're not being effective and you're not reaching the people that you need to reach, you might want to change your method. Your message stays the same, but your method changes. And that's, you know, what I did with Single No More. It's still broken but not bound. I'm still dealing with, you know, getting over issues and brokenness and all of that wonderful stuff, but I'm just giving it to them in the form of Single No More. And the response was 98%, was a 98% rise from what we were doing. But it's the same thing. So it's being open to creative ideas, being open to learn, being open to not just be my way or it's not going to work and just try to force be your audience, because your audience, you need them. You need your customers. You need people to purchase your product. But it's all about your delivery as well, too. So be open for change, which is, once again, going back to that choice.
Right. And, you know, that was going to be my next question, because you've shared so much, and I know we have tons of people tuning in. You know, the title of the show is Successful Women in Business, but what you're hitting on has more to do with, it's more to do with than just business. You know, you're talking about overall growth and development in every area of your life. But for those that are tuning in, and, you know, there's some women, I know I was looking at the chat room, and there's one woman in the chat room saying, you know, she's crying right now because she's trying to be that woman that she desires to be, and she's talking about how much you're inspiring her right now. And I'm sure you have this impact on people every single day and everywhere you go. So for those individuals that are listening in right now, they're saying, you know what, I'm at the point where I'm tired and I'm frustrated and I don't want to go this way anymore. I'm ready to make the decision. I'm ready to make the choice to start over. What would you say to them? If there was one thing you could say to them for them to take away from this show tonight, what would that be?
The three P's. If you're not just talking, but really ready, I call it the three P's: peace, pen, and paper. When you're really ready to move forward and say, I want change, change starts in the mind and goes down to a plan. Get somewhere peaceful is a must. For me, my kids are like, Mom, why are you in the closet? This is my peaceful place. You're driving me nuts, and I need some peace. So I'll go into my closet, and I'll sit in my closet, and I'll write. And I'll write, and I'll write, and I'll write. So peace, pen, and paper, once you are serious about the choice, and say, I don't want to live that life anymore. Write down the life that you want to live. Write down the life that you desire to live. Write down everything that's in you that you feel like you just want to get out. Write it out. That's one of the most powerful things that you can do when you're going into the steps of trying to overcome and trying to get from point A to point B. There's always a plan to get to point A, from point A to point B. You might not have all of the answers. I didn't have all the answers. I took bits and pieces, but I made the choice. And then once I made the choice and said, you know what, all right, God, I'm going to go ahead and try to get back to business, because me and being a welfare mom and people, I hated taking my little food stamps out, having to go to the store. I said, I can't do this. But when I made that choice, and I'm going to tell you this, when I finally accepted that God gave me the gift basket business to start, I tell you, everything that I needed to make that business function right came to me. I walked in the library. I've never seen it before. I've been going to the library for years. A row of videos, how to start a gift basket business, from basic all the way to advanced. Finally got a job at a wine accessory company. What happened? All of a sudden, they said, April, here, I know you do gift baskets. Here's the Gift Basket Review magazine. Everything that I needed started lining up, but I had to make it a choice and then accept the answer that God gives you. If you're praying for an answer of what you need to be doing, accept the answer. It took me 3 months before I started that, before I even thought about, you know, okay, I could possibly try this as a business. Accept your answers. Well, pray. When you get your answers, don't pray about the answer that you just got, because you're wasting time. pray, get your answers, get that piece of pen and paper, write it all out, and then execute. Start. It's too many free resources online. It's too many people with products and services that can help you. And don't be afraid to invest in yourself. That's one of the, especially, and I hate to say it, in the African-American community, one of the biggest issues is the fact that a lot of people have the hookup mentality. I've had to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to learn what I needed to learn in order to make myself better. So don't be afraid to invest in yourself to take yourself to the next place. Because my very first investment was a $99 printer, all in one. And at 24, 5 years old, that was a big step for me. And I use that to make all of my business flyers and things. So don't be afraid to invest in yourself, the piece, pen, and paper, and execute. And just say, you know what, and get prepared to have people leave you. And then it's just going to be you by yourself. So it's okay, as long as you know what's coming.
Got it. Wow. April, thank you so much again for being here tonight.
You're so welcome.
I can't say enough. There was a delay there for me to respond because I was finishing up my notes right there. So, as I said, you know, we're the host here, but we learn so much from our guests, and everything that you have said tonight has been so inspirational. It's definitely been encouraging, and it's motivating as well, even for those of us that have defined and have determined what our purposes are, and we're walking in that purpose and operating in that purpose. There's still always opportunity for growth. There's always opportunity for us to take a step back, to go into that peaceful place, as you said, and to really take an overall look at everything that's going on in our lives, you know, whether it be those circumstances or those situations. And I love the fact how you just closed it. It can be very frightening for people, but the truth is that there may be some walks and some journeys that you're going to have to take by yourself. You know, those best friends from elementary school and high school and so forth may not be on that journey with you. And,
right.
And that's something that we have to accept as well, right?
I know a lot of people, but my circle is very, very small. Everyone has a season in your life. And but I think the saying, a season, reason, a lifetime, is very few lifetimers you'll have. So when you stop trying to make seasonal people lifetimers, you'll be better off. You won't question, why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? And you also got to understand that sometimes it's not always the devil. If you know, if you read back in Exodus, God told Moses, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. So there's a lot of things that God may allow just to squeeze out of you what he needs to get out of you. So your whole family might act a fool, and they might be all these wonderful church people. But God may allow that because he's trying to get something out of you. So you go either accept it, either you want it bad enough or you don't. If you don't, that's fine too. Live a mediocre life, but you're going to always have that nagging feeling pulling on you on the inside that says, I want more. There has to be something more. So the road is not going to be easy, but there's always people around that God, once you decide to make the choice, he'll connect you with, and that could help you get to that next place. Just make sure you don't try to make every seasonal people lifetimers.
Well, we have it. We have the three T's. The piece, the pen, and the paper, you know, not being afraid to invest in yourself in execution. So execute, execute, execute. Now tell us, what more can we expect to see from April Mason? What's coming from April Mason?
Well, we had a lot of things getting ready to happen, and it was like sometimes you'll get stopped right in the midst of all of your wonderful plans, and right in all of my wonderful plans, because we turned my book into a one-woman play that was supposed to be debuting in Atlanta in April. Since April Sexual Abuse Month, and all of that got halted because God threw in there Single No More. And when I tell you, the response from Single No More has been crazy, and it's pretty much talking about, you know, dating. There's a lot. It says that 70% of African American women aren't married, and the stats say 75% of African American women in church will never get married. And a lot of this has to do with the he who finds a wife finds a good thing, and women are sitting around waiting to be picked like a piece of cotton, not realizing Ruth and Esther strategically placed themselves where the men that they wanted were going to be. Naomi never told Ruth, Ruth, go ahead and go on over there. Boaz is going to be over there. No, no, no. Ruth said, I'm going to go over here gleaning this man's field so I can find favor in his sight. Over in chapter 3, Naomi just told her how to hook, line, and sink him. And I think we've been taught to just sit back and wait and don't position ourselves, that there's a lot of single women out there unnecessarily, because there's just as many great men looking for wives as there is great women looking for husbands. But because of this, how we were taught, people aren't connecting. Women don't know how to date anymore. Women, you know, they don't go out by themselves. They go out in packs. They don't know how to accept a compliment. It's just so much stuff that after doing my research, it's like, wow. You know, the men that the women say don't exist, well, I meet them all the time. So I'm like, what's up with that? So single no more is about showing women how to position themselves to be found. It's not going out there, you know, being desperate, no. But if we're going to use Boaz as the guy, as the man, as we always, you know, here in Kingdom, wait for your Boaz, well, we got to look at the whole story. Ruth didn't wait on Boaz. Ruth actually went to where Boaz was. And as women, when you start talking to them about dating, well, I don't go out. Well, you can't expect to meet your Boaz, because last time I checked, it wasn't raining men, and God wasn't delivering them via UPS. So single no more is all about showing women how to position themselves to be found and get rid of that that old mentality of how we were taught, and really breaking it down and showing it's okay for this, it's okay for that, it's okay, you know, and showing them how to, you know, use their femininity and be women and be happy and all that wonderful stuff, the best places to meet, you know, great guys, all that kind of stuff. So that's single no more, so I'm definitely excited about that, and it launches in April, and it looks like as of tomorrow we'll be signing the contract. We're having our very first conference for it in Atlanta in April. So I'm excited. Just totally caught me off guard, because I thought I was going to be doing some other stuff. But I had other plans.
Hey, well, congratulations. We are definitely excited about that. And if it's in Atlanta, you know I'm in Atlanta. So
I guess. Oh, yeah, it's going to be in Atlanta, downtown at the 12.
Okay. I can dig it. So that's on my calendar.
All right.
You know, I mean, praise God for what he's doing. Like you said, you just went off course a little bit. You didn't know it was going to go here, but just stay the course. Just stay the course.
Right.
And stay encouraged. And wow, I'm excited for you. But Billy Isles, is there anything you want to ask or say before April has to leave us?
That was just awesome. I mean, I think she said enough. You know, and the one thing that kept sticking to me is about potential. You know, potential is who you are, but haven't become yet. You know, who you really are on the inside. And what I was getting from it is, once your eyes are open to who you really are, you'll change. And
mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's
absolutely.
It's an awesome message, and I thank you for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, definitely great message. I think the thing that stood out to me, because it's just been something, a message, it's like a reoccurring message for the past 2 weeks, and that's the decision. Once you've decided, you know, that's when things are going to fall into place. So making a decision, I think that was a pretty powerful point. And I loved how you just really talked about the entrepreneurial mindset, because it really is a different mindset to be an entrepreneur. You have got to be the driving force. And I loved how you talked about becoming that leader. You became that woman that you wanted to be. It wasn't, you know, you didn't seek out someone to show you the way. You found the way and you made the way. So I loved it. Great points.
Oh, thank you guys so much.
And for me, I'm looking through everything that you shared tonight. And I would say the one part for me, if I had to just choose one piece of the conversation for tonight, I think the part that really stood out for me was being able to accept the answer that God gives you. Because so often we sit there and we say we're praying for a miracle, we're praying for an answer. God, we just need to hear you. Just, you know, say it real loud. I just need it. And then when we get that answer, we're still afraid to execute. And we're still afraid.
Right.
So I think that was the most profound for me. And like I said, I'm excited about Single No More because I think that's – I'm encouraging everyone in Atlanta to go to this because not so much about the singles aspect only. I mean, I'm sure for single women that want to go and learn about this and make this change, I think it's great for them. I think it's going to be very empowering. But I'm also encouraging people, and I'm excited about it because I think this is going to be a great place to network, a great place to make those connections with individuals
Absolutely.
That probably, you know, share similar stories, similar backgrounds. You never know who you're going to meet at an event like this because it's going to be very impactful, obviously. I think there's going to be tons of motivation and inspiration going on there. So I think it's just a great place for people to connect and for men and for women to be able to come
Absolutely.
Together in this type of environment. So that's why I'm really excited about it. And I just there's definitely a cause for it. You know, there's a need for it, and you're meeting that need. So I just say, you know, thank you for being that vessel and just having this platform for individuals to be able to go there and get that information that they need. So, April, if you don't mind letting our listeners know, where can they reach you? How can they get more information about you? How can they get in touch with you?
The book, you can go to brokenbutnotbound.com and read the first, I think it's 6 or 8 pages. That's the introduction, absolutely free. And my website is under construction, but you can still reach me. If you go to aprilmason.com, it'll link you to every other site, the Facebook, the Twitters, and all those pages as well, too. And don't forget Single No More. SingleNoMoreOnline.com is it should be up. They've been tweaking on it all day. The new site, we had a one page up just for a quick minute, but then the new site should have launched today. So I haven't checked. But you will find some information on Single No More online, and I'll actually have the registration dates and all that information on the site as well by the end of the week for the conference.
All righty. Well, again, thank you for being here with us this evening, April, and we will definitely be reaching out to you in the future, and hopefully we can connect again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for asking me to come on your show. It was definitely an honor and a pleasure.
You are welcome. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so you got all the information. That was quite a bit tonight with April Mason. Definitely tons of nuggets, golden nuggets and information that are impactful, that will help you to grow and reach the next level. And that's what this is all about when we have these shows. You know, again, we encourage you to have an open mind and definitely take notes because so much was said tonight. But if for any reason you were unable to take notes, you're always able to go back online to listen to the replay. This will be available for you on MindShiftTalkRadio.com. And so we're going to keep it moving. We have another guest, as we said before. I mean, it's already started off just amazing, so I'm really excited about the next individual that is joining us. Now, I can't say enough great things about this individual, and I'm probably a little biased because she's a personal friend even, and I know a lot of her story, and I've been encouraged by her as a friend in business and in everything. And so I talked to you before about Nicole Cooper. Now, Nicole's story is another phenomenal story about triumph and overcoming obstacles and so forth. But she, too, is an entrepreneur, speaker, a trainer, a mom, just doing great things, wearing several hats just like April Mason, but and still winning in every area. So without any further ado, I want to go ahead and bring Miss Nicole Cooper to the line. Nicole, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Awesome. Welcome to Mindshift Talk Radio.
Well, thank you. You guys just had a powwow of a speaker on. I'm wondering, do we need to go any further? I think I'm going to wrap that up very, very well. I was just sitting here just oohing and aahing with everything that she was saying. Oh, my goodness. She couldn't say more truth for the listeners tonight. Man, she was.
Yeah.
I'm just blown away by her. So profound. I was actually very inspired and just encouraged by her words. So I'm just happy to be able to be on tonight to hear what she shared because it was, I mean, it's chills running through my spine thinking about what she shared tonight. Man.
Right. She was on amazing. Fire.
amazing.
But like I said, it is an honor to have you here, Nick. I mean, we know your busy and hectic schedule. And so definitely honored just to have you here to join us tonight and to bless our listeners with your words of wisdom as well.
Well, thank you. I'm happy
You're
to be
welcome.
Here. Awesome. Now, for our listeners that may not be familiar with you, why don't you go ahead and let them know who Nicole Cooper is?
You know, I would just say that I'm just like everyone else. I think all of us are. April shared some profound insight about some, you know, when you go through struggles in your childhood, how those things carry on through your adulthood, and how you go through this phase in life where you got to make a choice. And, you know, my story probably was not as rigid as hers, but we all have a story. And Stacey, you know, you know our life. Stacey and I are both from Los Angeles, went to high school together. And actually, I met Stacey when my life was turning in a different direction, but I just went through a troubled childhood and years of soul searching because, like April just mentioned, you got to get to know who you really are and what your calling is in life. Like, what is your assignment on this earth? And I remember sitting in my bathroom. We had this huge mirror on our wall where we grew up in our bathroom, and I would just lock myself up in the bathroom and just stare at myself in the mirror and be like, who are you and why are you here? Because I would realize how much control I had with my hands and my body and the ability to just, you have free will to do anything you want in life. And I always felt like all my friends had very obvious talents, even if they were just naturally gifted in school or they had great penmanship or they can sing or they were in some form of extracurricular activity. I just was one of those people that never understood what my role was in this world. And I searched for it intensely, because I just had to know why was I born. And, you know, through just tons of trial and error, I mean, my life was probably just as crazy as any kid. You know, you grew up in an environment of gangs and drugs and everything else in the book, and I was very experimental as a child. I was a big daredevil. But I just so happened to have made it to college and was in a new environment of people that were able to show me that it's okay to be a young black kid who knew what they wanted out of life. And they made me search and seek to try to become more intelligent and become more just purpose-filled. And so long story short, you know, ended up being an entrepreneur at a very early age, started selling candy. I heard April talking about her kids selling candy in school. That was me. And I think that's probably one of the greatest gifts that you can have is the ability to make a sale, because when you learn how to sell, you learn how to sell yourself. And I later discovered that the gift that I had was the gift of gab, and that gab turned into me going into a very successful real estate career and having just an outrageous amount of success in a short period of time, but also being faced with a very tragic collapse of our economy, and that just kind of raised up some level of maturity in me to know that the seasons will change and you got to know how to bounce back. And so that led me into pursuing internet marketing. And, you know, that internet marketing just opened up a whole new door of opportunity. And since then, you know, I've been building a pretty thriving business on the internet and training people on my true purpose in what I do is to teach people how to discover their purpose and find their passions and turn those passions into profits, because, you know, it's worthless chasing money. My heart hurts for all these people who think that racing after a few dollars is the solution to their life's joy. That is not it. I've been able to make tons and tons of money. You know, six figures is not hard to make at all. And when you get to a point where you start making the money and you get the nice house with the pool in the back and the white picket fence and you're driving the cars that you want to drive, you still have this yearning inside of you for more. And so my latest ambition in life is to really get people who want to make a choice. Like April mentioned, you've got to make a choice. For the people who want to make a choice about truly living out their destinies and living out their purpose in life, showing them how to do that while making money, knowing that you don't have to choose one or the other. You can choose your passion and your purpose and also make profit. So my goal is to teach people how to become six, seven, and eight-figure earners doing what they love and not doing what everybody else is doing because they have the idea of making a whole lot of money and thinking that that's their destiny, because it's not. So that's it in a nutshell.
Well, you know, one thing that you just said, you talked about how you teach people, once they make the decision, obviously, and the choice, about how to live their passion and to live on purpose and still make money, obviously, still make a profit from it. Now, when you're coaching individuals, how do you help people determine what that purpose is or what that process is? I know April said for people that, you know, go into a peaceful place and really even going into prayer to determine what that purpose is. But, you know, what's some of the strategies that you share with your clients in terms of determining what their purpose is and what course of action they should take?
I actually tell people to do something called vision mapping. I'm actually doing a training right now, and it's so funny because people don't want to do this. It's not the most desirable thing. If I say, let me show you how to make 7 figures in the next 7 months, you'll have boatloads of people just racing at your door. But when you say, let me show you how to discover who you really are, people run. It's so funny. But I've been dealing with showing people how to vision map. And what that means is basically sitting down. And we have a really good group of people. They were getting great feedback. But I had this core group. We started off with just very simple things. I told them to write down 3 things that they really want to accomplish in 6 different areas, one being your personal life, one being your professional life, one being your financial, one being your spiritual, one being your if they were in, like, a network marketing company or something like that. And I can't remember what the 6th thing was. A relationship or marriage or something like that. But I actually told them, think about 3 things that you would like to accomplish in 12 months in those 6 different areas. Just write down 3 things you want to accomplish. And I told them, even if you can't come up with anything, think about what you see other people accomplishing that you feel you would want to accomplish. And that kind of helps them to begin to paint a picture, because I think, you know, we're hitting mid-30s, you know, and so many people lose sight of their dreams because life happens. And I thank God that I'm somebody who my imagination is so big that I just never can sit still, because the ideas come faster than I can write. You know, so I try to get people to begin to write. And April said it perfectly when she said find peace, a paper, and a pen, because that's what vision mapping is all about, is being able to jot down things that you visualize. There's my favorite quote is, dreams are illustrations from the book your soul is writing about you. Dreams are illustration from the soul of the, from your soul, from the book that your soul is writing about you. So when you think about that, your soul is speaking to you in the form of dreams. You have visions, you have dreams, because it's some way that your spirit can talk to you to show you your potential of where you're supposed to be going. So it's not ironic that we have these random daydreams of seeing ourselves standing on stage talking to millions of people, or being able to write down a book, or, you know, write a book, or, you know, whatever it is, opening up that daycare center and caring for abandoned children. Whatever that vision is that keep prompting within you, that is the dream. That dream is coming from the illustration from the book that your soul has written already. And so I tell people, you've got to get in the habit of writing stuff down, because even myself, I notice that we go through phases of life. We get excited, you're just overly emotional, and yes, the world is on fire, and you're just amped, and you're ready to do everything, and then one thing happens. It could be a phone call, or you might get into it with a good friend, or something happens that disappoints you, and that whole vision and excitement is just quenched. Everything, the fire is just, you know, it's like somebody throwing ice on top of your fire, and you forget everything that you had visualized. And I just read a book. I'm reading tons of books. I'm always surrounded by books. But it talked about, it's a book, it was about burnout. And it's called Leading on Empty. It's by a guy by the name of Wayne Cordero. And he basically is from a pastoral perspective, where tons and tons of pastors, you know, he got to a point where he was a pastor and was governing, like he would plant tons and tons of churches, and he had all these things going on. And after about 15 years, he just totally burnt out, and he didn't know if any other pastor had ever gone through that. And so he went through going to a monk, I can't remember what they called, but he literally had to go and take a break because he was having anxiety attacks and all these different things. Mm-hmm. And the book talks about how life consumes you to the point where you forget about yourself. And you start leading on empty. You have no more strength within you to lead people with, but you create stuff because you feel like you must cater to the needs of people, and you lose sight of what your true purpose is with people. So anyway, I was reading this book, and he talked about the importance of writing down your vision, and he made reference to Habakkuk, I think it's Habakkuk 2:2 in the Bible, where it says, write the vision and make it plain. you know, for this, although it may tarry, it'll come to pass. So you've got to get in the habit of writing down the visions, because in life we go through so many different phases that it's almost like it's like an accountability partner. It's a reminder that if you open up that journal and you see something you wrote a year ago, you realize, oh, my God, this came out of me. It makes you want to continue to press towards making that thing happen. So, you know, I teach people writing that thing down is the closest way to get to know who you are, because I don't care how many people you follow, how many books you buy, how many live seminars you go to, how many counselors and coaches you pay. Only you and God can see what God has for you. So even if you get around people who you think are successful and you think that, oh, being close to them are gonna help, is going to help me become successful, until you come to know who you really are, it's just not possible. It's not going to happen. You'll find yourself constantly throwing money at things and you still feel lost and buried under this disillusion of what you're supposed to be doing in life. So vision mapping is extremely important.
Vision mapping. And you're right. You know, you just touched on something that April discussed earlier about how you see people going through these trends and these cycles, going to different businesses, seeking new opportunities. I mean, how many of us honestly know we have friends and family members in our circles that call us every 3 months with a new opportunity, right? It's like, this is new. This is the hottest thing right here. You're going to blow up doing this one. And then it's like 3 months later, the cycle goes again, and they're doing something else. And it goes back to what she said earlier. You know, you can sit there and go through these different experiences and looking for different opportunities, but if you don't get to the core of who you are and determine what that real purpose is, then you're basically just spinning your wheels, right?
Yeah.
Now,
exactly.
With one thing you talked about with the vision mapping, I know that when you were talking about that, you were talking about life happening and people getting thrown off course and so forth, but one thing I've seen, even in my conversations with individuals, even people reaching out on Facebook and so forth, and you'll have people asking, you know, they'll say, wow, you're doing so much, and I know they look at you. I mean, we've all looked at Nicole Cooper, and we're just like, how does she handle it all? But the biggest obstacle that I see with many people, once they even make that decision and that choice and they've written out the vision and so forth, they have a problem executing and moving forward because of fear. You know, it seems to be one of the biggest obstacles that hold people back. So how do you help people, or how do you coach people as far as overcoming those fears in order for them to get to the next level?
Well, that is two parts to that. The first thing about the fear aspect, a lot of times people have fear because they don't know what it's going to take to bring that vision about. So it's like, okay, you have this grandiose idea and you see it, but how in the world did you actually start doing steps to get towards making that thing happen? I think, you know, you start thinking about the million of things that it's going to take to bring it about. Let's just say, for example, if you want to open up your own daycare, you know, and you have a vision of, you see the kids, you see the building, you see the playground, you see it visually, but you're so overwhelmed by the idea that it's going to take so many different steps to actually bring that thing about that that's when the fear sets in, and you don't know where to start. Then there's another aspect of fear where sometimes it's a level of insecurity or concern about what other people are saying, and you start getting down to the personal development aspect of it, trying to build somebody up. But let me address the first part. When I look at the fear that sets in because of not knowing where to start, I can relate to that 100%. I think many of us can. And because I'm so type A, I'm an extreme type A personality, which means I'm doing a million things at one time. I'm always starting one project and then jumping to another project, and next thing you know, I got 50 irons on the fire. You know, and one of the things that I've had to train myself is to learn how to become more organized and learn how to plan better. Because a lot of times if you're a very spontaneous person where, oh, you get inspired because you got the vision, let's just jump in and do it, you start taking these steps without properly knowing what to expect to make this thing happen successfully. So when things start falling apart, you know, you might think, oh, maybe it's not meant to be. No, it's just that you didn't plan properly. So you got to learn how to plan. And I think for anybody who wants to be a successful entrepreneur, I mean, honestly, if you don't want to be an entrepreneur, I feel sorry for you, because the economy is going in a direction where a job is just not going to be enough. You know, at this stage in the game, if you're not making six figures in your household, you still are operating at a very close to impoverished lifestyle because life is so expensive. So even if you don't feel like you're an entrepreneur, you've got to learn how to have some level of, and I say this word not loosely, but you got to learn how to hustle, because the days are not getting, you know, these things are getting, the times are getting so much harder. And I just told my husband the other day, we had a power bill that was almost $500. And I said, man, what do people do who get this kind of power bill who don't have the money? You know, and that's just because we were burning the fireplace like crazy and the gas bill was high. But I just thought, I said, how do people keep their lights on? You know, if you can't afford to pay that bill when the weather's, you know, we got a lot of snow. So anyway, if you don't want to be an entrepreneur, guys, I just pray for you. But if you're dealing with wanting to be an entrepreneur, you've got to learn how to establish a solid strategic plan of action. Statistics show that 97% of people do not plan, while 3% do. And even out of those 3%, a very small percentage goes as far as details to see what it's going to take to bring their goals about in the next 12 months. And the statistics show, from a network marketing standpoint to a small business storefront kind of business, if you look at statistics across the board, if you look at the wealth statistics across the board, it's 3% of the wealth is controlled, or 97% of the wealth is controlled by 3% of people in the world. You know, you look at these statistics, it's not ironic that only 3% of people actually plan their lives out. And, you know, some people will say, oh, just go for it and just do it. And I do agree that there are some moments where you go ready, fire, aim. You don't do ready, aim, fire, but you still need to have some level of idea of how you're going to bring your goals about. So let's say, for example, you want to open up this daycare. What you have to do is start going back to small steps, small little steps that are, that you ever heard of SMART goals? I'm quite sure all of you guys have heard of SMART goals, S-M-A-R-T, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and I forgot what the T is.
Timely.
Thank you. Timely goals. Yes. So you think about the S-M-A-R-T goals. What you want to do is start being very specific. Like, for example, I talk to people all the time who tell me, oh, Nick, I want to make six figures a year, or I want to be a millionaire. Okay, well, let's talk about what it's going to take for you to make that. Do you want to make it in the next 12 months? If you want to make it in the next 12 months, well, how much does that mean a month? You know, people, you start asking those kind of questions and people freeze up like, I don't know. Well, if you want to make six figures in the next 12 months, what is six figures to you? $100,000, $200,000, $250,000? Okay, well, if you want to make $100,000, that's $83,333 a month. Okay? Now you got to look at that. You want to make, let's say, roughly $8,400 a month. Now let's look at what kind of income streams are you going to start putting in place to match up to that $8,400. If you want to create a daycare, where do you start with the daycare? What are the small steps that you take? Number one, you need to do your research. Then you need to figure out what kind of licensing is required. What kind of courses do you need to take? You start doing your research to figure out what steps do you need to put into place to make that dream a reality. You can't just live your life saying, I want to be a millionaire. What does it take to make a million? If you look at $1 million a year and you start adding to that, let's say you want to make $1 million a year, well, that's almost $84,000 a month. What kind of lifestyle, what kind of career path do you need to be in to generate $84,000 a month? You got to be owning and controlling something. You got to be producing something. You have to be creating something. You know, so when you start talking about these lofty ideas of what you want to do and what you want to accomplish, and it sounds so great and high pie in the sky, you got to bring it back a little bit and say, what will it take to make that happen? You know, and that's the way that I had to train my mind so that I can begin to start setting SMART goals, SMART measurable goals, things that I can say, if I really want to be making, you know, seven and eight figures a year, which my goal is to be making $8 to $12 million a year, and that's on automation, I don't want to have to work harder, I got to put systems in place. I got to start thinking about the decisions that I'm making. What kind of opportunities are my hand in now, and will these things produce $8 to $12 million a year? If they won't, I don't need to spend my time doing it. I need to shift my thinking. I need to add more value to my life. I need to spend more money being around 8-9-figure earners to learn how to make 6-7-8 figures so that I can begin to change my mindset and breed a new culture of thinking. So you got to start thinking about these kind of things. When you start with your vision map, and once you start painting that picture of that vision map, you start figuring out what are practical things that I need to do today to be successful. And for those people who they are fearful about what people think, or, you know, what if nobody accepts me and, oh, my gosh, am I going to have to do this by myself? Let me tell you, success is lonely, okay? I don't care what no one says. You know, people might say, oh, if you're lonely, there's something wrong with you. No, success is lonely because you're always going to go in a very different direction. You're going against the grain, you know? And there's a scripture in the Bible that says broad is the way, you know, where everybody's going, but there's a narrow path that only the righteous take. Most people don't want to do the things that are uncomfortable. And so if you're dealing with some level of insecurity and you're still stuck on what people think, you know, I was listening to a podcast today while I was at the gym, and this guy talked about, that's what he was talking about, ready, fire, aim. He said, you know, sometimes you just got to be ready and fire, and you work things out along the way. He said, you've got to be willing to fail. You have to be willing to step out there and take risks and be willing to fail. And for people who are dealing with levels of insecurity or things like that, you just got to get to a point where you get to a level of a spiritual acknowledgement of who you are, why you were born, get connected to your God and the Creator to discover what is your instruction manual for your life and live it. And April did a very profound, I mean, she just said some very profound things, but you do have one life to live. It is a choice. You know, and that's the one thing that I can thank God for that I've learned in life is never be afraid to step out and try something, because the more things you try, the more you're able to realize what you don't want. And when she talked earlier about, you know, the people that change their majors every 18 times, that was me. I changed my major every chance I got. And I had gotten called into my office, into the counselor's office my junior year in college, and she said, listen, you're going to have to pick some. So I asked, I said, well, what's the top 10 paid industries? And on a piece of paper, what's the top paid industries? And she showed me a list of 10 industries, and the first three was like biomedical, chemical, engineering stuff. I was like, well, I'm not going to do no biomedicine stuff, and I'm not going to do engineering. And we got down to IT, which was information technology, and she was like, you can still do this in the business department. I was like, well, cool, sign me up for that. You know, I didn't know what I wanted to choose. I kept changing. But the thing that I did discover was what I did not want. I tried political science. I tried English. I tried social work. I tried all these different things, and I said, nah, that's not going to work. No, that's not going to work. And I finally got to where I discovered what was a good fit. But if I didn't keep trying, I would have stuck in that grain of something that did not fit me, and I would have lived my life very miserably on a job doing a 9-to-5 for something like 76% of the world out here who hate what they do on a daily basis. You know, I would have stuck doing that. And I just thank God for getting out here and taking risks and being willing to fail. So I will say, you know, to those of you, if your life is living in fear because of failure, it's going to take for you to fail in order to succeed. That, I mean, it's just, I've been on welfare, you know, after making six figures and being a big-time real estate agent with billboards in the city, and I had my face on magazines and newspapers, and I was on people's kitchens all throughout the city, and you know, spending thousands of dollars. I had big bus signs and big billboards, and then a year later I'm sitting in bankruptcy court, homeless, broke, bankrupt, and ended up living in somebody's house on welfare, food stamps, WIC, you name it. We needed it. But it's okay, because it's the best lessons that I've learned in those failures that helped me to graduate to a new level. So you got to know that that's a part of the journey. And there's one thing that I've discovered about life. Your life is a scavenger hunt, okay? If you think about The Amazing Race, that is my favorite show in the world. And these people travel all over the world, millions of miles, and they go from one city and location to the next, all to get a clue. Once they get that clue, they don't even get a chance to sleep, eat, or shower. They got to be off to the next clue, and that's what your life is going to be like. It's going to be a scavenger hunt. You may think that, oh, I'm going to grow up and be a doctor, or I'm going to grow up and be a, you know, an attorney or a cosmetologist and own my own salon, and then life happens. You may have accomplished that thing, but your life takes a turn. You realize, no, I just had to get here to get my clue to get to the next destination. And you keep doing that until it's time for you to shut down the doors and you hit your expiration date to leave this life. But your life will forever be a scavenger hunt. And until you begin to look at things in that manner, where you realize that you're going to get to a place where it's not going to be comfortable, you're not going to be there long, you may not even be able to open up your sleeping bag and take a nap. You got to hop on the train and hit to your next destination, but that's what life is all about, because there's something so much bigger for you when you get to that final destination. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just talking.
Wow, Nick. But, you know, I love listening to you speak because you're so passionate. You teach people how to work and make profits from their passion, but you're so passionate about what you teach. And what's such a blessing about it is that you're living it. You know, you're not just talking about it. You're walking the walk every single day. We listen to your story. We listen to your testimonials. And like I said, for me, you know, I know where you come from. you know, I know the background. I know the story because we were there together. So I understand that. Mm-hmm. And just to see you blossom into this powerful and strong woman. And when I say that, I'm not just talking about business, but I'm talking about your character. I'm talking about integrity and so forth. And truly, I am so thankful to be able to be connected to someone like you. And I'm thankful that you would even take the time to be here, because even for our listeners that may not know you personally, just the time that you've been on the show, you've been able to bless them with your words of wisdom. And truly, I think it's priceless with just the information you've shared here tonight. You didn't charge anything for it. You just came here and spoke from the heart, and you are truly blessing our listeners. So I thank you so much for doing that. And as I'm taking the notes, you know, I'm just writing everything. And I started off with the vision mapping, and I went to the research piece because, like you said, many people will sit there and say, okay, I want to live this life, I want to have this kind of money, but there's no game plan. There's no structure around their lives in terms of how they're going to attack a plan or what their course of action is going to be to get those results in their lives. So I like that you discussed that. And also, just talking about the part where you were talking about not being afraid to fail, you know, being willing to fail. But also, I was looking at someone in the chat room. They were like, did she say that success is lonely? And it's just like, yeah, you know, she did say that it is lonely, because you do have people that will leave your lives. And sometimes you have to make the decision to leave. You can't wait for them to leave. But what I say to that is, it's such a blessing, because please understand that, yes, people may leave your life and you may have to leave them, but I truly believe in the power of divine connection. So when them people leave your life, when those people are gone, there are just 10 times more phenomenal people waiting to come into your life. And so sometimes we have to make room for those individuals to come into our lives, and so we have to be willing to let that go in order for us to experience even more and greater things. And you said it, you know, you were like, all those experiences you had, you went from making six figures to losing it all, being in the unemployment office. And I crack up about that story. I know it's not funny, but it is funny the way you tell it, because, you know, guys, she gave you like a more revised version of the story, but she cracks me up when she tells it personally, because she talks about sitting in that office wearing Chanel glasses.
Oh, yes. I had about $1,000 worth of merchandise on me. With Chanel glasses and velour sweatsuits and a $400 purse. And, yes, and pulling out in our car that the repo man was trying to get from us, a Mustang that I gave my husband a gift. You know, I surprised him on his job as a gift a year before, you know. So, yes, and let me just say something to the young lady about me saying success is lonely. Let me tell you why success will be lonely. The biggest reason that I've discovered about success being lonely is because you will have to deal with you and separate yourself from the crowd. And what happens is, a lot of times your friends are not going in the same direction. And I can't tell you how many times I've dealt with people who I would say, come on, you know, let's do this, let's do that. And they would be amped to do it until it was action time. And they would say, no, you know what, we're just going to stay right here. I don't think we're going to do that. No, I don't think I'm ready for that right now. And you have to be willing to move without your crew. You know, you have to be, even when I left home and went away to college, it's very few people that left, you know, Los Angeles to go away to college. And it was a very lonely time. I was depressed my entire first year. Yes, my cousin came with us, but we literally ate peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and Jell-O every single day. And we hated everything about our experience our first year, because our mindset was still back at home with our friends. And we were hearing about the parties and the stuff that they were doing that we didn't even live in the moment of us being in college. And even in between our first and second semesters of college, when we went home for Christmas break, our parents threw a party for us to go back to school for second semester to encourage us not to stay home. And I literally went home my first year for the summertime. I was done. I was like, I'm not going back to school. I'm going to come home. And, you know, we're from Los Angeles, so there's a million Cal States, Cal State LA, Cal State Fullerton. I mean, it's a ton of colleges, USC, UCLA, you name it. So I was like, well, I'll just transfer and come back home, because I wanted to be with my friends. And it took me about a month to be with them almost every single week, to see them fighting and bickering about who's going to drive their car and who didn't want to burn out their gas and who's mad because such and such like this one and you know, this girl. I mean, it was just a bunch of foolishness. And I told my mom, I was like, Mama, I'm going back to school. I just saw that they had not grown or matured in the year that I was gone, and I thought that I wanted to stay around because I did miss them, but I had matured and saw things differently because of my new environment. So I went through a whole year of pain and misery and loneliness, and, I mean, it was just there. My first year of college was horrible. We didn't do no partying, no connections. We didn't make hardly any new friends.
And that was just a painful experience because we wanted to look back at what we had. But by the time we got back for our second year, it was we rocked and rolled. We traveled the country, made a million friends. And I mean, we lived it up. So that's my point, is like life is like that. You'll look back at your crowd, your circle, your friends, your people who you want to take with you, but everybody just cannot go with you. All your family members may not be in agreement of what you're doing. They may not support what you're doing. You know, some of you guys might be, there's been a lot of, in our industry, especially in entrepreneurship, there's a lot of spouses that don't approve what the spouse is doing. They want you to go and get a real job. They don't believe in what you're doing because it's taking too long to produce. So you got to deal with that part, and you got to be strong enough to say, you know what, babe, I know you may not agree with what it is that I'm doing, but I see it so hard, you know, I just see it in my heart, and you got to work 10 times harder to prove to that spouse that what you're doing is where you're supposed to be. So that's the lonely part of success, is that you have to take that role sometimes by yourself. And that's when that spiritual connection comes in, where you guys got to have some form of spiritual divine guidance from God to show you that you are okay, it's okay what you're doing, and that you're going in the right direction, because it does get lonely. Because everybody, just think about how many celebrities had to die before people wanted to start buying their merchandise and praising how great they were. You know, and that's how human beings are. They're very fickle people. People are fickle. You know, there's a lot of things that I do now that people don't support me on. But if I died, they would be at my funeral crying, saying, oh, Nicole was so wonderful. We loved her. She just did so much for us. You know, that people will knock you until you're thriving in a massive success, but they do not push you while you're on the journey because they don't see it. So that's when you got to be strong enough, and you got to have your own vision to say, you know what, whether people back me or not, that's when that vision becomes so important. Because you got to hold on to that when all hell breaks loose and nobody has your back. You got to still say, you know what, y'all may not see it, but I see it. I'm going to press towards it. I'm going to make it happen. I believe in it. It's going to come to pass. And despite who has my back and who supports me, I'm going to be able to walk out my destiny, and all of you will one day realize that I was making the right decision. And you'll be cheering me on later. And so that's when the level of success comes in. Because you know what, guys, half of you, most of you are listening to this call tonight, you'll hang up and you'll be inspired, but you still won't even know where to start. In life, you'll find that a lot of us listen, but very few of us act. And April said it so profoundly. Many are called, but few are chosen. You know, very few are willing to take on that choice of actually dealing with what goes along with their destiny. And you have to, I mean, it's just, it's a beautiful and wonderful experience when you know who you are. But it does come with you being bold enough to separate yourself from the crowd and do it by yourself without having people cheer you along the way. So that's where I say success can be painful. And if you go through that experience, be excited because you know you're going in the right direction. But if you're in a crowd where everybody is, I had to go to when I was sitting in a county building when we were trying to get them food stamps. I mean, it was packed. It was tons and tons of people there. I mean, it was ridiculous. Tons and tons of people. You know, it was just, I mean, that was just a hangout spot. It was all kind of stuff going on, but that's what was comfortable. Let me come and get some support. Let me come and get some help. You know, because this is the easy road. But when you start going to business opportunity meetings, or you're on the sales, you're out in the sales field knocking on doors, you might not have anybody standing next to you because it requires work. It's hard. It's a challenge. And everybody, you know, most people don't want challenge. They want the easy road. So it's, you have to make a choice. If you're willing to endure, if you're willing, and there's another quote that I picked up when I was in college. It said, don't be afraid of pressure, because pressure is what turns a lump of coal into a diamond. You got to understand that the pressure that you encounter in life is like you being refined by the fire to be purified from a coal to a diamond. But not everybody can handle the heat. But you got to make a choice. Do you want to live your life as coal, or do you want to be a fulfilled diamond? And I know for myself and Stacy and Billy and Io and April and all the people on the call, we're pursuing to be refined in this fire to be pure diamonds that shine so bright. But you have to make a decision if you can handle the heat. And so that's my encouragement for you guys tonight is, you know, if you want to be a diamond, you got to be willing to be refined by the fire.
Go through the fire. That is awesome, Nick. We had no doubt. We knew that she would bring it. And people are in the chat room just talking about, like, wow, she is on fire. So we had no doubt that you would just lay it out there. And, again, I mean, what I like about your style is that you're very straightforward. You don't beat around the bush. You basically laid it out there, and this is the game plan. This is what you do. But really, at the end of the day, like you said, who's going to take action? You know, it's one thing to hear it, but who's going to get off of this line tonight or wake up tomorrow and say, you know what, I'm ready to make the change. So I encourage everyone that's listening to this show right now
to really take stock of yourself, take stock of your life, take stock of where you are right now, and make that choice, as we've heard from both speakers tonight, make the choice, make the decision to change, to grow, and start investing in yourself, whether it's picking up a book and reading a book, whether it's going online, whether it's going to these women's websites and just reading information there and getting some inspirational messages there. Whatever it is, make the decision and make the choice tonight to take action and then execute. At the end of the day, it's about the execution. So, again, Nick, I thank you so much for being here tonight with us. If you could please share with our listeners, how can they get in touch with you and how can they get more information from you?
You guys can actually connect with me on my fan page. It's NicoleSCooperFanPage.com. That's Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E, S as in Sam, and then Cooper, C-O-O-P-E-R, FanPage.com. And then if you're interested in learning about vision mapping and learning about establishing a plan for yourself, I'm actually hosting a training now that's called the Six-Figure Success Formula, where my goal is to show you how to generate six figures in the next 12 months, but doing it in a non-conventional way, doing it where you are tapping into the very strengths that you have and turning that into products and just learning how to become a producer of things and not be so much a consumer of things. I know we spend a lot of money, but very few of us are reproducing that money to come back into our bank accounts. And if you're talking about being a six, seven, eight-figure earner, guys, you have to become a producer. If you ever watch any of those shows, How I Made My First Million on CNBC or CNN and those various shows, you realize they go to a different level in life where they're producing things. And so that's my focus on Six-Figure Success Formula. If you want to learn more about it, it's the number six, figure, F-I-G-U-R-E, successformula.com. And you can meet us on over there and join us. We have a live training webinar tomorrow night where I'm going to go into over 12 different ways that you can do, things you can do right now to actually make money online. And what people don't know is while I was on welfare, I tapped into some information, started studying for about 5 months, and began to take that information and turn it into becoming a consultant, making over $3,000 a month, though I wasn't a technical person. And I'm going to train on tomorrow night and give some guidance to people how I was able to do that while I was learning. So I was getting paid, like they say, you earn while you learn, and I was having people pay me to learn more information that was going to help me build my own career. So sixfiguresuccessformula.com, the number six, and NicoleSCooperFanPage.com, and we can connect more when you come over there. So feel free to give me a shout-out on the fan page to let me know you were on the show tonight so we can connect. And Stacey, Billy, Io, thank you so much for having me on tonight. I really do appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here.
Awesome.
Thank you. Yes. Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That is it for tonight's episode of Successful Women in Business, Miss April Mason. Mason, I'm just tongue-tied right now, but April Mason and Nicole S. Cooper. And again, you can find these ladies and find more information about them online. You have aprilmason.com, also brokenbutnotbound.com, where you can get more information about her book. And also the Single No More Conference coming to Atlanta. And I have to clear this up because I got a couple of messages about this. I'm encouraging everyone in the Atlanta area to attend this conference, Single No More, whether you're single or not. And as she said, she's going to be talking about getting that Boaz for the women that are looking for that Boaz. I can proudly say that, thank the Lord, I have found my Boaz and he has found me. So I just have to put that out there and clear that up. But I will definitely be at the Singles No More Conference. I think it's going to be a great networking event. Great information will be shared. You heard a tidbit of it just tonight, and I say a tidbit because I think we just barely scratched the surface of who April Mason is tonight on this show. So I encourage everyone in the Atlanta area, whether single or in relationships, to be at the Single No More Conference. And also find more information about Nicole Cooper online, as she said, NicoleSCooperFanPage.com. And also, I mean, why wouldn't you take advantage of this free training that she's offering tomorrow night? So SixFigureSuccessFormula.com. SixFigureSuccessFormula.com and get training by none other than the phenomenal Nicole S. Cooper. So that is for tonight's show. We thank everyone that participated in the chat room tonight. I want to thank my co-host for holding it down as always, Dr. Ayo Kedar, and the motivational minister himself, Mr. Billy Miller. We thank everyone for calling in. We had quite a few calls tonight. Unfortunately, we couldn't take the calls tonight, but thank you all. We ask you that you share the information with friends and family members that you feel will be encouraged and blessed by this show. Have them visit us online at mindshifttalkradio.com. And if you have not become a fan yet, we ask that you do that on Facebook.
go to the Facebook fan page, and you will find MindShiftTalkRadio.com on Facebook. So that is it for tonight. Definitely, definitely, definitely be here next week, same time, same place. We are going to have part two of this conversation, but it's going to be successful men in business. So you want to make sure that you're tuned in next week and spread the word and get even more people to join in on this conversation next week. So that is it. As always, you guys have a happy, phenomenal, blessed, productive, and success-driven week, and we will speak to you guys next week for Mindshift Talk Radio. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mind Shift Radio.